Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And it occurred to me, I've been getting very, very serious during this episode. I don't know why, but I have been. And we're going to take some callers. I know we don't take callers very often on this show. It's because normally, and no offense to the callers, it's best just to let the guests talk. And sometimes when you invite on callers, it just kind of takes you off on tangents, and it's just kind of like a waste of time. But today we really want to actually open the phone lines up and have a chat with y'all. So the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 is that number to ring in if you can be asked. And Suzanne Posel is my very special guest, and we've been talking about a number of different issues today, from pacemakers to literal memory, mind control, disaster movies, and the obsession with death culture, and your country being taken over economically, and the instigation of terrorism by the United States worldwide. This country's been turned into the bullies of the world. You know, Bill Hicks was right. He was exactly right. You're like Jack Palance in the movie Shane, throwing a pistol at the sheep herder's feet. Pick it up. I don't want to, mister. You shoot me. Pick up the gun. And come on. Where is this heading? And why are people not doing enough about it already? I mean, how long did it take me? I think it took me about maybe 3 years. I don't know, I'd probably say around, oh, About 3 years, maybe, listening to talk radio and watching documentaries and things of that nature before I had what I considered to be enough information to feel confident when I spoke, to then just start going out and spreading the information to other people. It was just because there wasn't really anybody in New Zealand doing it to any great extent that I could see. There are a few people with a radio show, like one day a week, one day a month, or something of that nature. I'd probably say the closest thing that we have to a truth movement guru in this country is Jonathan Eisen and Catherine Smith, who do these magazines, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine and Uncensored magazine. And it just occurred to me that there's not enough video, there's not enough radio getting out there around with any kind of New Zealand context. And, you know, we do talk a lot about a lot of American issues on the show. But what's funny is that when I first started listening to American talk show hosts and getting all this information about the New World Order, what I realized really early on in the piece is that everything that is happening in America, almost everything that's happening in America today that is completely messing the country up and enslaving its people is happening to New Zealand. And then the Australians are listening to my show and I'm talking about New Zealand and the issues, and they're like, oh my God, mate, everything that's happening in New Zealand is happening in Aussie too. I was like, that's right, mate. Everything's happening in all over the place. Okay, it's a global system. We can't escape it. Okay, you know what you're supposed to do when you can't escape, when you're backed into a corner? You bite and you fight like a cornered dog, all right? That's what really needs to be done here. You don't have any more retreats. No more retreating, ladies and gentlemen. Stop. And this is the other thing. And I want to get your take on this, Suzanne, in a minute. Bradley Manning goes to jail because he reported the truth, okay? He leaked these documents. And the news article that I was reading, the news story that I was watching last night said that because this person went to jail for doing the right thing, it will prevent many others from doing the right thing. Absolutely correct assessment of the situation. Absolutely. This is why you got to sacrifice yourself. Okay? Regardless of what consequences might come your way, there is no glory without sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. There is no great accomplishment without losing some of yourself in the process. There is nothing worth doing unless somebody else does not want you to do it. Suzanne?
Well, absolutely. He's going... I heard something recently when Edward Snowden came out. And there's been all this talk about what a whistleblower is and what define, you know, how to define a whistleblower if they give out information that we already know. Is it really whistleblowing? The point is that he has been described in mainstream media as a leak. That is because Obama had set up some, including some executive orders, but some directives about whistleblowers. And to give somebody that kind of status after you place those parameters out there and then someone comes out and gives out information that kind of screws up your entire administration and exposes things that to previous administrations that nobody really wanted anybody to know, that we all knew, but it's nice to actually have proof that it's actually really happening, that we have a name of the programs and the people who are involved and exactly what they're doing and how they have it and what exactly they have. It's nice to know that everything we've been talking about is actually really happening. It's validation. It feels good, even though it sucks that it's happening. So to then take away that status as a whistleblower and tack on leaker, that is redefining what it means to be a traitor to our country. And I see a lot of articles out there about whether or not Bradley Manning is a traitor and how this is going to redefine what a traitor actually is.
A traitor is a person who protects the integrity of the United States. A patriot is somebody who destroys the Constitution and enslaves the people of the United States.
Absolutely. So that would mean everyone sitting on Capitol Hill who was elected is a traitor.
What's the punishment for treason again? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's death. No wonder they're scared to death of people like Bradley Manning, because that's what that might actually happen to them. Okay, and I don't know. Why is it that people value their own life over everybody else's? You know, I just... Some people have a greater calling in life, and they understand that they're only one life and that everybody else's is worth giving their own life for. Whereas other people, they say that my life is way more valuable and everybody should die to serve my agenda. You can't sacrifice everybody else to save yourself. You can only sacrifice yourself to save everybody else. You've got to make a choice about it, you know? And that's what Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden and a number of other whistleblowers throughout the year have really taught me. Just as a patriot, as a somebody who cares about humanity, just in general, you know, my concern for humanity doesn't stop at the New Zealand border mark. You know, it doesn't stop there; it encompasses many, many more. And people forget that is that you can make that choice, and you can accomplish a heck of a lot for so many more people if you make that choice. People are afraid. They don't want to do that, on the other hand, because you do lose things as a result of making that choice. I've lost a hell of a lot of things. You know, I don't have any friends that I used to have in my life, save one. My mate Jono, he's like the only friend that's actually stuck with me through thick and thin. All the rest of them are new friends, truth of friends, you know, that kind of thing that I've met since doing right by humanity. And these are the kind of people who will stay friends because, well, just as long as I keep doing right by humanity, of course. Who knows? I might get bribed and take it and just go like, you know what? I'm sick of counting these $1 a month donations from people who subscribe to the Vinnie Eastwood show. I'm sick of having to wait 6 months or something like that so I can get some decent soap. Speaking of soap. this is an interesting story. Yesterday, I gave a plug to Angela Foreman from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen, because I just received a care package from her with a number of bars of soap. And this is a bit of a personal detail, so you know, bear with me on this one. When you're in the studio and you've got the lights above you, and you're wearing a suit jacket and all of that kind of thing, things can get pretty sweaty, pretty disgusting. And what was strange was, even when I was washing myself, washing my armpits, that they would still reek of body odor, even after freshly being washed. I couldn't get the smell out of them. All right, and the first time in, I think, months, I think I've been out of Angela's soap. The first time I washed myself with Angela's soap, that smell that I couldn't get rid of for months disappeared. Just disappeared. And it's this blessed lack of reek. It was awesome. Angela, thank you so much. You make me not reek. Your soap is freaking awesome. I just wanted to say that. This is really important, I think.
Important. Can I have some? I love my husband, but can I have some?
Man stink doesn't go away. You know, it's kind of like it's kind of like New World Order infiltration. It just penetrates everything. You know, ugh.
Is it attacks to the deep down in your DNA, and then. It's not good, guys. It's bad.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. And the problem with deodorant is that a lot of it's got hazardous chemicals in it, you know? You got aluminum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, your husband will smell nice, but he won't be able to remember your name.
Oh, yes, and then it'll cause cancer because it's plugging up the pores that are actually supposed to be open to so you can air yourself out. Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. He'll smell good for a few minutes, but yeah, he'll die of cancer and won't remember who you are.
I mean, come on. You know, this is not good enough. And Angela also sells off of her website sandalwood cream deodorant. And when you're getting out into the protests and things like that I do, you know, walking up and down the main city street, sometimes two or three times in a day, running around with the cameras, the megaphones, the microphones, and so on and so forth, you can build up one heck of a reek, and it's not good. And it doesn't, and that's even after putting on deodorant first, you know, by after a couple of hours of that stuff, it just completely saturates you. It's gone through all this time. Not the sandalwood cream deodorant, on the other hand. It's got like, I don't know what the heck it's got in it. I mean, sandalwood, obviously, but it works incredibly well. It just got rid of all of that. And it's not like one of those stinky deodorants, because my friend, Catherine Smith from the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. She's I used to wear a lot of deodorant, and when I went around to their house, she'd actually start to get a migraine because of the hydrocarbons that come out of these normal deodorants. And so I'd stopped wearing deodorant going around there. So instead of getting a headache from the stinky deodorant, she'd get some other kind of ache because of stinky me. So I managed to get a balanced out of this scenario. You know, that was just great. Here we are talking about my man stink.
Is there a caller?
No, there is no caller. I think the man stink put him off.
It's bad when you can smell it through the radio.
Oh, dude, you know, smell-o-vision would be a really, really bad invention, I think. But in fact,
maybe her soap could be like the official soap of the activists.
Yeah. Activists don't stink. You know, we can come up with some kind of slogan. Yeah. The Gourmet Soap Kitchen, the soap for activists, so that when you're sweating your ass off, and biting your own fingernails off for fear of the New World Order coming in and exterminating you and your family and dragging you out into the street and pulling bullets in your head, at least you'll smell good. Did I go too far?
I think no. I did.
You know, you imagine the soldiers going away with like blood on their hands or something. It's like, damn, those people were just executed smelled fabulous. And it's like, I know, bro. What the hell were they?
Yeah, go back in the house and get that deodorant.
Yeah, man. I mean, seriously. I mean, didn't New Orleans teach you anything? We can take whatever we want out of these houses. Go find that friggin' soap, yo. No, seriously.
Coming soon, baby bath. No.
Yeah. I mean, the gourmet soap kitchen in Wagga Wagga is going to be the first place the New World Order hits, you know. It's just like strategic reserves.
How can these activists smell so good? Damn it.
Can you imagine all the people paratrooping in, you know?
Yeah, like they do with the raw milk.
Yeah, totally.
SWAT team members with, like, you know, huge guns. And
yeah, like five C-130s full of C-130 Hercules full of troops just paratrooping out of that motherfucker. Just, you know, like, God, dude. And they've been cramped in the plane for, like, about 4 hours while they've been flying on from some freaking outpost base or something like that with 20,000 US troops in Australia that they got now. And then they're stuck in this plane together and it smells terrible, you know. It's just like, hey, guys, can you tell the pilot to swing past Wagga Wagga? We've got to pick up some supplies. Okay, these guys back here, they freaking reek, okay? And I was listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show one time when I was surveilling him, and he talked about this gourmet soap kitchen, and apparently this stuff works, okay? It's worth a shot. It'll only cost us about $4 million to paratroop us all in there. I'm telling you, the soap is freaking worth it. Get us there. Look, yeah, don't argue with me. You're not back here with the rest of the troops. Having your nostrils burned by omission, okay? This is not sanitary back here, bro. Get us the frack to Wagga Wagga. Don't mess around, yo. But seriously, though, go to the gourmet soap kitchen, okay? There's a banner on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com homepage, and get some of this damn soap, ladies and gentlemen. It's so amazing, like amazingly good. And Angela's a really good lady as well. So check it out, gourmetsoapkitchen.com, I believe. We'll be right back after the break with Suzanne Posel at OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The caller lines are open, by the way. I wasn't joking. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And I also wanted to ask if people would be generous enough to go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, either through the bank account that we've got there, the Kiwi Bank account. I think you're capable of doing international transfers. Apparently, you need some sorts of codes or whatever. If you're savvy, you can find them out. But if you deposit $5 a month, just set up an automatic payment of $5 a month. If I had 500 people doing $5 a month, that's $2,500 a month. Okay? Now, the reason why I actually want some decent funding and the reason why I want it from the people rather than the advertisers is because the advertisers need results, okay? The people, on the other hand, they expect different results. They expect me to keep doing this work. They expect keeping to hear me on the radio 5 days a week. They expect to keep having those YouTube videos and everything of that nature put up there. And if you've been watching my career steadily over the time, you'll notice that not only have I become a better host, but we've gotten better guests. And we've gotten better equipment, and we've gotten better studio lights. We've gotten a big, massive display TV behind me and all of this kind of stuff. So every single dollar or every single piece of equipment that you donate only makes things better and come at you more frequently. What I want to start expanding into is being able to travel around the country to cover different stories. For example, there's a woman called Kerry Campbell who is the first woman, as far as I know, in history to make a $15 million withdrawal from her bank A $15 million deposit into her bank using the same trick that the banks do, by making it up with a signature. Okay, and she's been thrown in jail for this. And she's just doing it to prove that it can be done, to prove that the banking system is a fraud. And so naturally, because she proved that the banking system is a fraud, she gets charged with fraud and thrown in jail. You scumbags! You know, she's a mother of
eight. How exactly did she get that done?
I don't know. Apparently, you can do it. Anybody can do it. You know, all you need is like a signature and a bank account or whatever. I don't know. Short answer. You can check out this article that I think I posted it on my Fash book. I can't recall where exactly it is. But point is, she actually contacted me a number of days before doing it, asking me to come down and cover the story at the courthouse at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. And I would have gone, except I was broke. And now she's in jail. And I wasn't there to cover the freaking story. You know, that's actually really, really kind of angers me. And it's nobody's fault but my own. You know, I can't be everywhere. I can't do that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what it did do is it taught me a lesson that I actually do need to be able to travel relatively quickly to locations around the country sometimes to cover really important events that I know for a fact that no other alternative media person in this country will be capable of covering to any decent extent, usually, and no mainstream media will cover probably at all, usually. Okay? I really do. I have taken personal responsibility for the alternative media in this country. That's what I've done. And as a direct result, I need funding from the people that I'm serving, which is you, the listeners, you, the viewers. I need funding from you in order to continue to do this work and, moreover, to expand my ability to do this work. The more you give me, the more I can do. And I need that that income to be regular so I don't have to keep coming on radio and basically putting my hand out like a pauper beggar out of Oliver Twist. Okay? Stop making me beg. Just go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe for $5 a month. We'll give you your commercial-free archives, you know. Just contact me and tell me you subscribed or whatever. I'll send you the links. There's no worries, mate. Okay? This is what it's all about. I'll give you whatever you want. I just need that security so that when I finish my work at the end of the day, I don't have to worry where's my dinner coming from tonight. Okay? If I'm well funded, I'd actually be able to get myself some pants. All right, I split my pants in half when I was at the protest the other day, bending down to pick up some signs. I don't even have money to replace those pants. I need some new pants, yo. I need new shoes. My dress shoes that I'm wearing to these conferences and things like that, if you looked closely underneath them, they're held together with freaking duct tape. Okay? I need to look respectable. Not like a freaking bum wearing a moth-eaten cardigan. I need to project some kind of a BS image, if you will, of authority, okay? So that all these other people who think that, well, anybody who not wearing like proper clothes and things like that is just a bum in a rickety protest, you know? Those people, they're easily mind-controlled. All you got to do is wear a suit. And all of a sudden they think you tell the truth. It's just that easy. So please, again, I'm very, very much worth it. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for $5 a month. It's not that hard to afford $5 a month, okay? It's like a dollar a week. You spend more of that on a cup of coffee in some countries. And this is your part being played to ensure that alternative media, at least in New Zealand, exists and has the ability to cover news around the country, around the clock. And not only that, but of course with all the guests and everything like that I bring on the show, many of which would never have a platform given to them anyway, we can cover all the international issues as well. A people's funded media. That's what I want. And this way, if an activist comes to me and says, Vinny, I need help with this, that, and the other, I can't say it. I want to be able to say to them, here's a camera, here's a microphone, film it yourself. I'll teach you how to use it in 5 minutes. I'm really good at teaching people how to use simple technology. Go out and prosper, my son. And if you want to upload stuff, I'll give you the YouTube name and password to my channel so that you can edit and do your own videos, because I want to set these activists up so that they don't need me anymore. Okay? Unfortunately, I need you, the audience, in order to do that. All right? This is a symbiotic relationship. If you like listening to the show, if you've been listening to it for free for years, please contribute something. I mean, what's your excuse? This is an proviso, though. If you can't take care of yourself or your family, don't try and take care of me, okay? And if you can't take care of me, don't feel guilty about it, okay? Everybody's on a similar boat. It's the same thing. Right. I got that out of the way. Just kind of, yeah, really in a, really just kind of cutting by the skin of my teeth. Ain't doing it for me anymore. Suzanne Posel is my guest. Do you have any other articles you'd like to share with us today, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah, there's always something going on. I wrote an article this week about how the government and marijuana industry lobbies are fighting against legalization in the United States. What? Marijuana lobbies? What? Yes, it's true.
Probably because they're getting a lot of funding from drug dealers who don't want it to be made legal, because then they'd actually have to do things like pay tax, not stand over people in order to get the money off them.
Yes, in Massachusetts, the Department of Health is pushing for applicants to set up dispensaries to pay over $31,000 in fees for licensing and show that they have liquid assets as collateral. And it's in the several, what is it, at least 500,000 in liquid capital as assurance for operation costs. Are you flipping kidding me? And now, there's more.
go ahead.
Then you have the marijuana lobbies who are fighting against the legalization and using, medical marijuana caregivers joined a group of anti-legalization enforcement organizations to push against the legalization of possession of marijuana in small quantities within state borders. They're not worried about the federal part. They're just trying to get the states that have legalized it and the states that are legalizing it for recreational or medicinal use to make sure that they can't get that done. They say that the people who are benefiting financially would prefer that they see nothing change. So the marijuana culture, the industry of marijuana, is already prospering whether or not it's legal. And they don't want it to change. They don't want people to get their marijuana from a dispensary or from a clinic or, God forbid, from somewhere else where they can get it cheaper. They want to have monopoly over where the marijuana is distributed to and how much it costs to the customer. This is like Big Pharma for pot.
It's like Big Pothead.
It's incredible. So this is insane. Marijuana has so many medicinal purposes, let alone that it would calm everybody down and everybody would be happy. And the worst thing that would happen is a bag of chips would get attacked. But, you know, you can be drunk.
You
and
just
drive.
Imagine that, you know, just bag of Doritos sitting there minding its own business, and all of a sudden, vicious cannabis user comes in, and you're like, ah!
Reminds me of that film you were just telling me about, Zombieland. Yeah, sure. Sit on the side of the road and watch a bunch of high guys just attacking a bag of Doritos,
eating their manwich.
There was a gentleman
crack open the bones of the Doritos and suck out the marrow.
Suck out the GMO. Oh, it tastes so good.
GMO.
GMO, exactly. Well, in Canada, there was a man who made it.
Incidentally, patented by GMO Lynch.
One of these days, you're going to have to teach me how you do this so quickly.
It's called making stuff up, and half the time they fall flat. So, you know, be prepared.
Well, there was a guy in Canada, and this is part of the argument. He made a documentary about how he cured his own skin cancer using oil derived from cannabis. And this is really...
Rick Simpson?
I believe so. And the International Medical Veritas Association has placed cannabis oil on their schedule for cancer treatments. And this is over in France, I believe. This is the crux of the argument. We don't...
Yes.
We don't need their pharmaceuticals that cause us to have homicidal tendencies and kill people.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, you have terrible psychological breakdown, organ failure, mass murder and death. And on the other hand, you have a cure that makes you a little bit sleepy and get you rest. Let's just see if we can weigh this up here. Psychological breakdown and death, cured and being a little bit sleepy. Is this a difficult decision?
No. And here's something interesting. Now, it's illegal on the federal level, right? Well, the Department of Veterans Affairs has enabled clinics and hospitals to prescribe medical marijuana to patients in 14 states. Those 14 states that have it legal and also legal for medicinal use. although the doctors are not admonished to prescribe the marijuana to veterans, it is still at their discretion. That it can be prescribed in lieu of pain medication that couldn't be prescribed because of X or Y reason. Isn't that interesting? A federal agency is going against federal laws.
Well, isn't that what they normally do?
We made the law. It doesn't apply to us.
Yeah, I mean, we make the laws. We don't follow them, you know. Do as I say, not as I do. That reminds me of my mum's friend Gary, who's getting into me and my mate Will. We were outside Video Easy on Waiheke Island one day, you know. We were just getting ourselves a DVD, and he's sipping a bottle of scotch, and he gets into his car, and he goes, don't drink and drive, kids. Do what I say, not do as I do. That's the government.
Yeah, because the Obama administration actually had to answer. There was a petition on wethepeople.gov, and it got 300,000 signatures plus, so he had to answer. And so the Obama administration admitted or said that their stance on the legalization of marijuana falls back to the National Institutes of Health, which says that marijuana is associated with addiction, respiratory disease, and cognitive impairment. Now, I will admit that some people, when they're high, are pretty damn stupid. But I wouldn't go as far as to say that they're cognitively impaired.
Yeah, I think if anything, people who are anti-cannabis are certainly cognitively impaired. I mean, look, what was his name? Oh, please, Dr. Bob Melamed. Okay, if you want to learn about how marijuana makes you smarter and indeed heals your body and indeed is essential for human evolution, you want to listen to Bob Melamed. You can search him up on my YouTube channel, MELE. Frack, I'm having a brain fade. Of course I am.
Couldn't be a little marijuana.
MELAMEDE. That's the one. Melamed. Okay. It's like melamine, except it doesn't kill your babies in China. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being an incredible, edible, extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we're working on the archives there at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I want to give a shout-out to Kevin Caldwell for getting his getting his problems sorted and starting to actually help out get those archives up at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. He's actually started on them and has something to show for it. So it's just brilliant, brilliant, because we've been really concerned about the network. And all the hosts have kind of come together, really are pulling their own weight as a bunch of personally responsible people should do. And it's really good because we really are a family here at American Freedom Radio, and we definitely pull together when times are tough. So I wanted to give a shout out to Kevin, to yourself, Suzanne, particularly to the one holding the network together right now is our producer, Adam. This man is a king among men. He has so much strength and power and incredible ability that it's just beyond compare. I challenge anybody to do for American Freedom Radio what he has done. I don't think such a person exists, and I want to acknowledge him for that. Okay, so final segment here, Suzanne. This cannabis topic is, in fact, really, really quite a big one. I was on Time for Hemp with Casper Leach earlier on in the week, I think. Or was it last week? I forget which. I must have been high. And what I found very interesting is that even if you pay tax, this was funny. We were talking about a guy who actually had a marijuana lab set up. Okay, it was fully legal, fully legit. He was paying taxes. He only just sent them a check for like $7,500 or something like that to the state, and then they raided him. Wearing desert camouflage in the jungle, of all things.
Yeah, because it looks like a jungle inside one of those dispensaries.
Oh, it's a jungle out there. I mean, you know, well, it's just, you know, they're wearing Iraq kind of what you would wear, desert camouflage, right? And it's not in a desert area at all. Like, it's like, dude, your camouflage that you're wearing is actually making you stand out. Hence, it's not camouflage, okay? Camouflage helps you blend in, not help you stand out. Why weren't you wearing high visibility jackets? Why weren't you wearing an LED panel saying, "I am a fascist pig" on your frickin' uniform? Why weren't you wearing one of those?
Well, they're also putting out these like bogus studies that say, oh, the edibles at the dispensaries, kids are getting into them and we need to make them childproof because kids are getting high and they're little kids, you know, like my kids, not my kids, but, you know, like small kids. And they're getting high and they're eating these edibles. So they're going to the emergency room all high and we don't know what to do with them. So we need to outlaw marijuana.
Yeah, dear God, children have gotten their hands on something that's never killed anybody. And let's put it in a time frame. Ever. Oh my God. And they go into the emergency room and they cannot die from it. They cannot die. However, when they're in the emergency room, they pump them up on a whole bunch of drugs that they can die from.
Yeah, they're saying that the kids are coming in hallucinating, panic attacks, anxiety, depression, nausea, coma. Come on. No kid is going into a coma after eating an edible. Come on.
Worst case scenario, they'll come into the emergency room asleep, right?
Is not a coma.
It's like, wake out of your coma, wake out of your coma. I'm trying to sleep, man. Give a shot of adrenaline instead. You know, like Pulp Fiction.
If you play some SpongeBob SquarePants, the kids will wake up. Hey, it's not a coma.
Have you ever watched SpongeBob SquarePants?
My children have been introduced to SpongeBob SquarePants, and yes, I have. In the last 2 weeks, I've watched way more than any human being should possibly watch, and I don't like it.
You don't? I love SpongeBob SquarePants. Awesome. It's the funniest stuff ever. It really is actually hilarious to me. It's quite good comedy, I think. But yeah, the kids are obsessed with it. You know, I used to look after these. Used to look after these boys when I was being paid to do so. And it's just like, you know, you mentioned SpongeBob, but it says SpongeBob, SpongeBob.
They do. We were at the store and we were trying to buy some Sterilite tubs and we passed by a towel in the bath area where it was SpongeBob, and my 2-year-old ran over and she started singing the song and I was like, oh my God, she's programmed.
Now, what is it that SpongeBob was supposed to teach you? Because Patrick, the starfish, is obviously the cliche stoner character, you know, like Cheech and Chong style.
How do you do that?
What are we doing? What are we going today, SpongeBob?
Now, Cheech and Chong knows.
I need another Krabby Patty.
Okay, well, Patrick, I'll whip you up once first.
Oh my God, that is crazy. Well, what does Squidward represent then?
He represents just a dick.
Is this like a stoner show that I don't know about? Does it have implications?
Okay, well, here's the question then. Can you watch it stoned and have it suddenly make a hell of a lot more sense to you?
That's I'll let you know tomorrow.
All right, this is an experiment in the sake of science.
I will do it, sir. Yeah. I will sacrifice myself for the betterment of children everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then your children, when your children find that you're laughing your ass off to SpongeBob SquarePants, they go like, "Mommy, can we have some edibles too?"
No, because then the doctors at the emergency room are going to think you're in a coma when you're taking a nap. No.
Yeah, you mean not until your older son. And then you won't need me to go get it for you.
You know, the funny thing is, like, kids whose parents are trying to be all discreet about it will then, when they get to be teenagers, realize they go over to their friend's house and they smell that same smell. And they're like, wait a minute. When my mom and dad used to come out of the bathroom, I smelled that same smell.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I was doing my community service once after I got busted. I think it was quite a few years ago, doing it at a regional reserve, pulling weeds and filling in holes and trail paths and things like that. And one of the older guys there, he has granddaughter, and he rolls his own cigarettes kind of thing, and his granddaughter was watching him, and she goes, you know, my daddy rolls his own cigarettes too, except his tobacco's green.
That's great.
You can't put it past kids, eh? Like,
no, they are paying attention.
Oh, they switched on, man. They switched on. It's amazing, you know, how much kids can actually teach adults. What's other interesting thing? Have you ever seen Toy Story 3?
That movie is freaky as hell.
But the very end, when Andy gets his toys back and he goes and he actually plays with that little girl kind of thing, you know, just with his toys and stuff like that, you know, and an adult boy is about to go off to college just playing kids' games with a little girl with all of these children's toys and things like that. It was just so sweet and really beautiful to me, because I think as adults we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten how to just play. And that's really quite tragic, I think, because that's where all our creativity comes from. And I think that if adults could stop taking themselves too freaking seriously and would laugh and have as much fun and play as much as kids do, we'd have a hell of a lot better world, I think.
Oh, absolutely. My son yesterday brought everything out into the backyard and put it all in a line. At the end of it was his radio flyer wagon and his blanket, and he was that was his fort, and he was going to spend the night out in the backyard. And, I mean, every single toy was out in the backyard in a straight line leading up to this wagon, and he was having a blast. I wish I could do that. I wish I had time to do that.
Well, the thing is, if you don't think you've got time, you'll be surprised how much time you can actually free up if you really wanted to, you know? Most of the times I feel like I don't have enough time to shave, but the reality is shaving only takes a couple of minutes. And instead of spending a few extra minutes on Facebook talking with people who are dissing me and blocking them, I could instead just have a freaking shave.
That, you know, now that you put it that way.
I mean, am I wrong? If I stepped out of some intellectual closet here?
No. I mean,
come on. You know, no. We can really just... It's like in that movie 2012, you know, the president, Danny Glover, is in the chapel, and he says, you know, to his aide, step out, I want to have a word with Adrian. He says, sorry, sir, there is no time. And he says, make time. And really, we've got the ability to make time, ladies and gentlemen. Make time for your kids. Make time for yourself. Make time to make the world a better place. And, hey, if you make that time... You can actually spend it doing something that is actually beneficial. All right. And most of the time, we spend doing things that we don't really want to do instead, when we could just choose not to do those things and do something else. You know, it's only a choice. That's all it is. And we've all been endowed with it. Apart from ruthless criminal psychopaths, they don't seem to have a choice, except scumbaggery, of course. Suzanne Bosel has been my very special guest from OccupyCorporatism.com. Thank you for coming on at such short notice and spending so long on here. And your righteous cackling is much appreciated. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Visit thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe today. See you again sometime.